good evening, Truth Seekers. Mike Malloy here. I hope you're aware that this Saturday there are all sorts of demonstrations across the country in support of, well, not actually, not exclusively or solely in support of what is happening in Wisconsin. It's more rallies across the country to reclaim the middle class as a viable political entity in this country and not just something to be kicked around by the capitalists and the corporatists. So check your friendly activist website and find out where it's going to be in your area. You can get the information. Where can you get it? I'm sure you can get it at Think Progress, thinkprogress.org, probably all kinds of places. It's called Main Street Movement. You can Google that if you want to, Main Street Movement. What I have here are demonstrations in Georgia, Idaho, Indiana, Montana, Ohio, Tennessee, Washington. So check it out, okay? Main Street Movement, or go to thinkprogress.org. Or I'm sure other websites have it. Get the information. First hour of the Malloy program tonight is sponsored by Diane Swanson. Her message from Diane, living in the heartland and searching for truth. The Mike Malloy podcasts help greatly. Thanks. Thank you, Diane. She is our first hour sponsor tonight. You know, all the talk about these overpaid teachers. Yeah. Okay. Let's examine that. Let's start from the premise. Here we go. Teachers' hefty salaries are driving up taxes, and they only work 9 or 10 months a year. It's time we put things in perspective and pay them for what they do. Babysit. We can get that for less than minimum wage. That's right. Let's give them $3 an hour. And only the hours they worked. Not any of that silly planning time or any time they spend before or after school. That would be at $3 an hour, $19.50 a day. That's from 7:45 a.m. to 3 p.m. with 45 minutes off for lunch. That equals 6.5 hours. 6.5 hours. Okay? Each parent should pay $19.50 a day for these teachers to babysit their children. Now, how many students do they teach in a day? Maybe 30. Okay. So that's $19.50 times 30. That would be $585 a day. However, remember, they only work 180 days a year. We're not going to pay them for any vacation. All right, let's see. $585 a day times 180 days, that equals $105,300 a year. Hold on a minute. Let me show you. Here. $105,300 per year. Now, what about those special education teachers and the ones with master's degrees? Well, we could pay them minimum wage, $7.75 an hour. Just to be fair, let's round it up to $8 an hour. Okay? That would be $8 times 6.5 hours times 30 children times 180 days, which would equal $280,800 per year? Wait a minute. There's got to be something wrong here. See, the average teacher's salary nationwide is $50,000 a year. $50,000 for 180 days equals $277.77 per day times or divided by 30 students, that works down to $9.25 divided by 6.5 hours. That comes down to $1.42 per student. Pretty inexpensive babysitter. And they even educate your kids. What a deal! So the next time some half-assed right-winger talks to you about overpaid teachers, just for the sheer hell of it, suggest that maybe what we should do is pay minimum wage to every teacher. $7.75. Is it that high? I didn't know it was that high. $7.75 an hour. I was being ironic there. $7.75 an hour. 6.5 hours. Times 30 students, times 180 days. Okay? Suggest that to the teabag right-wing brain-dead Glenn Beck-sucking freak in front of you and watch them say, oh, well, okay. Yeah, all right. Yeah, I like that. Pay a minimum wage, $7.75 an hour. Yeah. And then whip out your computer and show them how that equals $280,800 per year for a school teacher, paying them minimum wage. Do you know what we pay when we get a babysitter for Molly? $10 an hour. Now, that's what we pay here in the foothills of the North Georgia Mountains. The teachers, let's just pay them $7.75 an hour per kid, per 6.5 hours, times 30 children. Well, it'd be less than that. Molly's class only, what does Molly have? 24 kids in her class? 22? Oh, let's go with 30. Hell, they're talking about Detroit bumping it up to 60 kids per class. So let's see, find a common ground here. 30 kids. 6.5 hours, $7.75 an hour. Let's bump it up to $8 an hour. 180 days, $280,800 a year. I'll bet you there's not a teacher out there that wouldn't take that. Ah, let's do it. Let's do it. Let's pay the teachers minimum wage. Let's pay the teachers minimum wage. Ah, let's pay the teachers. I don't hear anybody else joining my chant. Except for a few teachers, maybe. This is worrisome. Baby bottlenose dolphins are washing up dead in record numbers on the shores of Alabama and Mississippi. Alabama and Mississippi. Alabama and Mississippi. Did anything happen out there recently? Oh, yeah. The executive director of the Institute for Marine Mammal Studies in Gulfport, Mississippi, said today that he's never seen such high death numbers. He said, quote, I've worked with marine mammals for 30 years, and this is the first time we've seen such a high number of calves dead. It's alarming, end quote. At least 24 baby dolphins have washed up on the shores of the two states at the beginning of the year, more than 10 times the normal rate. Also, 6 older dolphins died. In January 2009 and 2010, no calf strandings were reported, compared with 4 in January 2011. The lead marine mammal stranding coordinator at NOAA echoed the other guy's concern. He says, it's not common for this time of year to recover such young animals. When you put the numbers together, it's quite high compared to previous years. What do you suppose could be causing this? Now, the other day, we talked about how human beings along the Mississippi Gulf Coast are getting sick in record numbers. We'll have to think about this. I just have to give this some thought. What would cause all this death and sickness and destruction in the Gulf of Mexico? Let me think about it over the break. They're not telling pre-September. I lean on in the loop to help them unremember. I was flying on UA-93. That shadow. Out of
Democrats strike without warning, so to your backseat in bed. Wear a bucket on your head, that's what I said. And to show your support for
right. Doing talk radio right. From the left, it's more Mike Malloy. Ecology,
all the treasuries being bled. Keep a bucket on your head. You won't need any eye holes.
21 past the hour. And again, the answer, this hour is sponsored by Diane Swanson. Diane writes, living in the heartland and searching for truth. Mike Malloy podcast helped greatly. Thanks. Thank you, Diane. Well, it's happening again, this time in Nebraska. You remember last week, South Dakota, the legislature there got rid of a bill introduced by a Republican state representative, some freak named Phil Jensen, which would have allowed the use of the justifiable homicide defense for killings intended to prevent harm to a cluster of cells, a parasite. I'm sorry, that's what it is. It is. I have children. I love them all. I have grandchildren. I love them all. But they're children. They're not zygotes. They're not blastocysts. They're not barely fertilized eggs. They're children. Remember that? Anyway, now a nearly identical bill, according to Mother Jones, a nearly identical bill is being considered in Nebraska, where yesterday the state legislature held a hearing on the measure. Now, the legislation is titled LB 232. It was introduced by State Senator Mark Christensen, a devout Christian and diehard abortion foe who opposes the procedure in all cases to begin with. But unlike the South Dakota law, which would have allowed only a pregnant woman, her husband, her parents, or her children to commit justifiable homicide in defense of her blastocyst, the Nebraska bill would apply to anybody. Melissa Grant of Planned Parenthood told the Nebraska Legislature's Judiciary Committee yesterday, quote, in short, this bill authorizes and protects vigilantes, and that's something that's unprecedented in our society, end quote. Specifically, she warned it could be used to target Planned Parenthood's patients and personnel. Also testifying in opposition to the bill was David Baker, the deputy chief executive officer of the Omaha Police Department, who said, quote, we share the same fears that this could be used to incite violence against abortion providers, end quote. And, of course, the police chief's concern is well-founded. Abortion providers are frequent targets of violent attacks. 8 doctors have been murdered by anti-abortion extremists since 1993, and another 17 doctors have been victims of murder attempts. Some of the perpetrators, including Scott Roeder, the murderer of Wichita, Kansas, Dr. George Tiller, they have attempted to use the justifiable homicide defense at their trials. Several of the witnesses at yesterday's hearing in Nebraska cited Dr. Tiller's murder as a case where a law like the one this freakish Nebraska state senator has introduced could come into play. Now, this is where it all breaks down. This is where you discover the lying cowardice of these right-wingers. And boy, do I have something to share with you when we come back after the break on a different topic. Mr. Christensen, the senator, the devout Christian, insisted that his measure is not intended to target abortion providers. Oh, no, that's not what I'm talking about. He says his bill is merely meant to allow pregnant women to defend their fetuses without fear of prosecution. He says, no, LB 232 is really nothing more than an attempt to make sure a pregnant woman is not unnecessarily charged with a crime for using force to protect her unborn child, for someone who means to bring harm to her unborn children. Hey, dumbass. Hey, freak. Hey, unchristian, Jesus-hating liar. You know you're breaking a Ten Commandment there because there are already laws on the books. Someone who's attacked, like, oh, I don't know, pick somebody there, Mr. Christensen. How about a pregnant woman? She has the right to kill the son of a bitch on the spot already. No, you're a liar and you're a coward, Senator Mark Christensen, devout Christian and diehard abortion foe. You're a liar and a coward. You're one of those types that when the great getting up morning does come, according to your holy text, and you stand before the Lord in heaven, he's going to snap your head off and kick it into hell, where the demons, devils, and haints will use it as a soccer ball for all of eternity. That's what's waiting for you, Mark. Hey, listen, Mark, instead of introducing a piece of crap like this, why don't you do, I'll tell you what, introduce a bill that will expand women's, infants, and children's services for living children. How about that, Mark? How about introduce something in your state legislature that gives kids total health coverage, good nutrition? How about that, Mark? Huh? Those little feti will take care of themselves, trust me. God will watch over them, huh? If it's God's will, they spontaneously miscarry. Well, my brother Jeff in Florida will oversee the count. The Supreme Court will decide if we don't get the right amount. Don't misunderestimate me. I have come to teach the world about democracy. I'm running on the legs of responsibility.
Defining anger management. It's Mike Malone.
25 before the hour. This hour is sponsored by Diane Swanson. She writes, living in the heartland and searching for truth. The Mike Malone podcast helped greatly. Thanks. Thank you, Diane. Before we get to this lying stuff, did you hear about this? The police chief of Madison, Wisconsin, Noble Ray, W-R-A-Y, today asked Republican Governor Scott Walker to explain what the chief of police calls, quote, very unsettling and troubling, unquote, comments made in what the dumbass Scott Walker thought was a private phone call. Remember that? Governor Walker said on the 20-minute call that his administration considered planting troublemakers in the crowd of demonstrators opposing his budget, which is designed to destroy collective bargaining rights of public employees. Remember that? We played it all for you last night. You heard the whole thing. Well, the chief of police said, quote, I spent a good deal of time overnight thinking about Governor Walker's response during his news conference yesterday to the suggestion that his administration, quote, thought about, end quote, planting troublemakers among those who are peacefully protesting his bill, the police chief said. He went on, quote, I would like to hear more of an explanation from Governor Walker as to what exactly was being considered and to what degree it was discussed by his cabinet members, end quote. The chief went on to say, quote, I find it very unsettling and troubling that anyone would consider creating safety risks for our citizens and law enforcement officers. Our department works hard dialoguing with those who are exercising their First Amendment right, those from both sides of the issue, to make sure that we, the police, are doing everything we can to ensure that they can demonstrate safely. End quote. You remember this punk-ass governor who got punked hinted that he ultimately decided against planting troublemakers in the crowd, and he joked to Ian Murphy, who he thought was David Koch, that he, Scott Walker, oh God, what a guy, the Scott Walker may use a baseball bat in his office to go after the protesters. Oh, goddamn, Scott, you are one tough cookie. Woo! We are shaking in our bloomers. You're going to come after us with a baseball bat, Scott. Yeehaw! Let's get it on, bro. Come on. You want ass? You got to bring ass. Bring your baseball bat. That's all right. Lord have mercy. Police Chief Ray said he was concerned that Walker's remarks could signify, or what his remarks could signify, like the signifying monkey. Some of you know what I mean by that, and some of you don't have a clue, but the chief said he was concerned that Walker was signifying, adding that it's his, the chief's, responsibility to find out more about what was being considered by state leaders. Amen, Mr. Police Chief. I agree with you, sir. Noble Ray of Madison, Wisconsin wants to know a little bit more. Sounds like conspiring to commit crimes, doesn't it? Crimes against the Constitution. I don't know how it works in Wisconsin. Does Scott Walker take an oath to protect and defend the Constitution of the United States? Maybe somebody will find an answer to that, huh? What do you think? Liars. I don't know if you remember this. You remember a woman named Judith Regan? She was fired by HarperCollins. That's owned by the pig, Roger Ailes, and the Rupert Murdoch terrorist organization. Judith Regan was fired by HarperCollins about 5 years ago because she claimed that a senior executive at the parent company, News Corporation, had encouraged her to lie to federal investigators 2 years before. Now, stay with me on this one, because some son of a bitch should go to jail on this. I mean, seriously, Martha Stewart went to jail, right? Listen up. These federal investigators had been vetting Bernard Kerik, the former New York City Police Commissioner who had been nominated to become Homeland Security Secretary in the Bush crime family, and who had had a sexual affair, even though he's a good old married boy, with Mrs. Regan. The goal of the News Corporation executive, according to Mrs. Regan, was to keep the affair quiet, shh, and protect the then just being born presidential aspirations of former Mayor Rudolph Giuliani, Mr. Kerik's mentor and supporter. Remember all this? This is so long ago. Oh my God, this is such ancient history. Isn't this just old stuff? This is from Russ Buettner at the Times. But Miss Regan had never revealed the identity of that executive, even as her allegation made headlines and she brought a wrongful termination suit against HarperCollins and News Corporation. But now, affidavits filed in a separate lawsuit revealed the identity of that previously unnamed executive. His name? Roger Ailes, chairman of Fox News. Roger Ailes had suggested, almost ordered, Judith Regan to lie to federal investigators who were checking out Bernard Kerik. Roger Ailes forced Judith Regan to lie or lose her job, which she chose the latter and lost her job. Now, what is more, the documents say that Ms. Regan taped the telephone call from Roger Ailes, in which Ailes discusses her relationship with Kerik and what to do. Now, as Russ Buettner reports, it's unclear whether the existence of the tape played a role in News Corporation's decision to move quickly to settle Ms. Regan's lawsuit, paying her $10.75 million in a confidential settlement reached 2 months after she filed the lawsuit in 2007. Of course, the Times reports, and I like you talk about an underplayed comment. Listen to this. Here we go. Of course, if it were to become public, the tape could be highly embarrassing to Mr. Ailes, a one-time advisor to Richard Nixon, whom critics deride as a partisan who engineers Fox News coverage to advance Republicans and damage Democrats, something Fox has long denied. Isn't that a hell of a sentence? Isn't that a hell of a sentence? Boy, you got to give it a New York Times, right? I guess they have to do that. If the tapes were to become public, they could be highly embarrassing. Well, I would think it also would be the basis of criminal action against this lard-ass bastard who runs Rupert Murdoch's anti-American terrorist broadcast organization. In a statement released yesterday, a News Corporation spokeswoman did not deny that Mr. Ailes was the executive on the recording, but the spokeswoman, Terry Everett, said News Corporation had a letter from Ms. Regan, quote, stating that Mr. Ailes did not intend to influence her with respect to a government investigation, end quote. The matter's closed, Ms. Everett said. That's it. Go away. Get out of my face. There's your statement. Door's shut. We don't have to talk to you or anybody. We're the Rupert Murdoch terrorist organization. We are going to burn this country down. Ooh. Ms. Everett, the spokesman for the pig, Roger Ailes, and the terrorist organization, News Corporation, Ms. Everett declined to release the letter, and Ms. Regan's lawyer, Robert Brown, said the News Corporation's description of the letter did not represent Ms. Regan's complete statement. Did not. You see, over at Fox, they all lie. That's part of their employment contract. You must lie, even if it means the possibility of going to prison. You must lie. And every one of the piglets on that filthy organization's screen and that filthy organization's radio network, every single one of them is a liar whose sole intent is to burn this country down. So why do they keep broadcasting? These documents emerged as part of a lawsuit filed in 2008 in which Ms. Regan's former lawyers in the News Corporation case accused her of firing them on the eve of the settlement to avoid paying them a 25% contingency fee. It's all about money, isn't it? The parties in that case signed an agreement to keep the records confidential. But it does not appear that a court order sealing them was ever sent to the clerk of the state Supreme Court in Manhattan. And therefore, the records were placed in the public case file. Oops! Oh, no! Oh, my goodness! This is kind of like a phone call to Governor Walker where he thinks he's talking to David Koch. God, these people are stupid! I told you.
He's your nightly ammunition against right-wing rhetoric. Get locked and loaded with Mike Malloy.
10 before the hour. So, there you have it. Roger Ailes, who advised Judith Regan, who was summarily fired for protesting, she refused to lie to federal investigators who were trying to vet Bernard Carrick, the former New York City police commissioner who had been shtupping Ms. Regan even though he was a nice, respected, married man, Republican, and going to head up Homeland Security. Well, you know what happened to Kerik? He's in prison now, of course. He pled guilty to federal charges, including tax fraud and lying to White House officials. So Kerik lies, and he goes to prison. Martha Stewart lies, and she goes to prison. But Roger Ailes, who strongly recommends that Judith Regan lies, still manages to eat and fart his way through being the head of the Rupert Murdoch terrorist broadcast organization. Why isn't he in jail? Why is there not an investigation? Just like the chief of police in Madison is a bit interested in what Scott Walker meant by salting the audience with troublemakers. You see how these filthy pigs operate? Huh? Hey, you right-wing morons that are listening. You love this, don't you?
Goddamn right, Mike. We're gonna do anything we can to stop you commies.
Really? Back in the day, News Corporation said Miss Regan had been fired because she made an anti-Semitic remark to a Jewish HarperCollins lawyer, Mark Jackson, in describing the internal campaign to fire her as a Jewish cabal. That was the public pronouncement as to why Judith Regan was fired. Turns out, that's a lie, too. In her lawsuit in 2007, Ms. Regan said the book controversies had been trumped up and the anti-Semitic remark invented to discredit her. Should she ever speak out about Mr. Kerik, the guy who was stooping her in ways that would harm the sainted Rudy Giuliani's image. There's another turd, isn't he? Isn't Rudy Giuliani just a piece of human waste? There he is. The new court documents revealed, because none of these morons had the sense to seal them, they went into the public records instead. The new court documents expand upon that charge and link it to Mr. Ailes, that he, not only did he tell Judith Regan to lie to federal investigators, but Roger Ailes also made up the lie about the anti-Semitic remark. This son of a bitch never stops, does he? Huh?
Depending on the specifics, the New York Times winds up here. Depending on the specifics, the conversation between Regan and Roger Ailes could possibly rise to the level of conspiring to lie to federal officials, which is a federal crime. You don't have to actually do it. All you have to do is conspire to do it. And it's a crime. But there's always a big but when you're talking about Roger Ailes, isn't there, huh? But prosecutors rarely pursue such cases, said Daniel Richman, a Columbia University law professor and former federal prosecutor. Really? Then you mean Martha Stewart was targeted? Why? And Bernard Kerik, one of the reasons he's in prison is because he's a lying twit also. What about Roger Ailes? Get him. Come on, federal prosecutors. Get him. Come on. He conspired with another individual to lie to federal investigators. Get him. What? You're not going to get him? As part of the settlement in January 2008, News Corporation publicly retracted the allegation that Ms. Regan had made an anti-Semitic remark to Mr. Jackson. Publicly retracted it. Roger Ailes, a lying wart, a walking carbuncle, a liar. Oh, by the way, Mr. Jackson has since been promoted to general counsel of Dow Jones and Company, the News Corporation subsidiary that now owns the Wall Street Journal. God have mercy. Roger Ailes. What a nest of snakes. at the Rupert Murdoch terrorist organization. What a nest of snakes. Vile, filthy liars who are hell-bent on destroying America. They want to burn the country down. They want to burn it down. That's why they let that freak Glenn Beck loose every day, right? I want you to go kill more people. I want you to blow things up. I want you to shoot people. And the other freak on television, O'Reilly, who made it his business to ensure the death of a physician over and over and over. Tiller the killer. Tiller the tailor. Tiller the killer. Tiller the killer. Well, I said it last night. These people should be marched to the edge of the United States and told to start swimming. This hour has been sponsored by Diane Swanson. Her message from Diane, living in the heartland and searching for truth, the Mike Malloy podcast helped greatly. Thanks. Thank you, Diane. We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy. Seven past the hour. This is the Malloy program. This hour is sponsored by Jack Milliken. His message, Karen passed, but she still loves the American idea. Thanks, Jack. All right. Part two of the liar's poker thing going on here tonight. Roger Ailes, it has been discovered in a lawsuit that was never supposed to see the light of day, that Roger Ailes suggested to Judith Regan, who was fired from HarperCollins because she wouldn't play ball. Well, she played ball with Bernard Kerik, but she wouldn't play ball with Roger Ailes. He suggested she lie to federal investigators. Roger Ailes, the corpulent Machiavelli? Nah. The head of the Rupert Murdoch terrorist organization that goes under the name Fox News. Roger Ailes suggesting that Judith Regan lie to federal investigators, and then Roger Ailes lies by saying the reason we had to fire Judith Regan is because she made an anti-Semitic remark. The real reason was because she had the goods on Bernard Kerik. And then they had to pay her $10.75 million to settle out of court. Or was it in court? Or over court? Or under court? It doesn't matter. Maybe it was on a tennis court. Roger Ailes is a scum-sucking pig who is destroying, burning down the country. He wants to see it go up in flames, just like Beck does, just like Limbaugh does, just like Hannity, just like O'Reilly. They want to see America burn. That's why they're there. So, moving along to Chapter 2, a federal judge yesterday unsealed a government proposal that outlines what it wants tobacco companies to say in national advertising and on cigarette packages. And what they want the tobacco companies to say is that they, the tobacco companies, lied to the American public about so-called light cigarettes and the addictiveness in nicotine. This sounds so last century, doesn't it? But here it is. Judge Gladys Kessler of the United States District Court in Washington denied a request by the tobacco companies that the recommendations by the Justice Department be kept secret until they, the tobacco companies, submitted a response. Oh, no! Don't tell anybody! Please! We want to kill more people! Do you know one of the biggest exports of the United States is death in the form of those little round cylinder, those little oval cylinder, round oval? What the hell are they? Those cylinders of tobacco. Most of the world still smokes, and the tobacco companies are like the oil companies. They don't give a goddamn. They couldn't care less. You're dying of lung cancer? Maybe it was something you ate. You're dying of pancreatic cancer? Oh, well, you know, you're dying of stomach cancer, colon cancer, liver cancer, bladder cancer, brain cancer. Really? Well, it must be that terrible environment you live in. It has nothing to do with cigarettes. The so-called corrective statements were ordered as part of a civil racketeering judgment 5 years ago, 2006, in which Judge Kessler back then ruled against the tobacco companies, saying they had lied for 50 years. For 50 years. How many people do you think the tobacco companies consciously and deliberately murdered? How many? It's my understanding that upwards of 400,000 people a year just in this country die of tobacco-related disease. Is that true? 500,000. Why, if you stretch that back over 50 years, what is that? 25 million people murdered by the tobacco companies? Really? That's just in this country. Anyway, the statements are to appear in newspaper and magazine advertising. They're still able to do that, aren't they? And in attachments to cigarette packages. Judge Kessler is also deciding how the advertisement should be displayed at retail outlets. You know, at your friendly 7-Eleven. She's expected to set a schedule Thursday. Today. I hope she did it. For the response from the companies and her decision. This is in the New York Times, too. The Justice Department has a statement that they're proposing should be put into tobacco advertising. They're pretty blunt, and they are being met with stiff resistance from the tobacco companies. Well, I hope to shout. One of the statements the Justice Department is proposing would have the tobacco companies buy ads in newspapers and stuff, saying, in part, quote, "We falsely marketed low tar and light cigarettes as less harmful than regular cigarettes to keep people smoking and sustain our profits. We knew that many smokers switched to low tar and light cigarettes rather than quitting because they believe low tar and lights are less harmful. They are not." End quote. That's one of the things that the Justice Department is considering, forcing these purveyors of death and illness to put on their packages of disease. Here's another one. Quote, "We told Congress under oath that we believed nicotine is not addictive. We told you that smoking is not an addiction, and all it takes to quit is willpower. Here's the truth. Smoking is very addictive, and it's not easy to quit. We manipulated cigarettes to make them even more addictive." End quote. Remember that? Remember when these pigs all stood? Remember and they raised their hands from all the tobacco companies? And swore to tell the truth. And then when they were questioned, who was it, Waxman? I think it was his committee. And asked, is nicotine addictive? And they all said no. Well, the science is right there. That indicates that nicotine is right up there on the addiction level with heroin and cocaine, maybe a step above. That's why it's so hard to quit. I smoked for 40 years.
I quit smoking 10, 20, I lost count of how many times. And always went back. Because I'm weak? Maybe. Because I was an addict. Now, it's been 9 years since I put one of those death spikes in my mouth, and I will open up my goddamn throat with an axe before I ever put another one in. Nothing like a reformed smoker, right? No, I know about the addictive power of cigarettes, and I also know about the lies that we're told. Lies, 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 lies. Always by the right-wingers. You ever notice that? The ones that lie and cheat and steal and sneak are right-wingers. And let me ask you, right-wingers, something who are monitoring the program. If your policies work so well, you know, how's come they haven't worked in 30 years? Philip Morris, USA, the largest United States tobacco company, said yesterday that the government's proposals, quote, well, they go beyond factual and scientific information. Really? This is what they've been saying for 50 years, for 100 years, for 200 years. Was it Sir Walter Raleigh who brought tobacco back to the UK, back to Britain? And the king at the time looked at it and said, I'll hang anyone who brings this stuff into my country. Or am I just making that up? Philip Morris, USA, which makes Marlboro cigarettes and is owned by the Altria Group, signaled that it would appeal to higher courts if necessary. Well, of course. I mean, these dealers in death and destruction and sickness and illness and driving up the cost of health care in this country and murdering people, hooking people when they're teenagers, making people fall over dead, giving people cancers and open-running sores and death and vomiting and bleeding and blood coming out of their rectums. Yeah, no, what? Are you kidding me? This isn't fair. We shouldn't be forced to do this.
Seekers, it's time for your humble and obedient servant, Mike Malloy.
21 past the hour. So Philip Morris, USA, the largest United States tobacco company, said yesterday that the government's proposal to make them fess up to being lying purveyors of death, illness, sickness, disease, and destruction, that the government's proposals go beyond factual and scientific information. They issued this statement, quote, the Department of Justice proposal would compel the companies to admit wrongdoing under threat of contempt. Such a proposal is unprecedented in our legal system and would violate basic constitutional and statutory standards, end quote. The tobacco companies went on to say they will be proposing their own versions for the judge to consider. Can you believe that? Companies, capitalist organizations that murder people by the hundreds of thousands in this country, murder people by the millions overseas taken together. How many times have you heard this? The single most preventable cause of death is cigarette smoking. The single, not eating pork chops or, not stuffing your face with bonbons, not sitting on your ass and getting no exercise. All that is bad. But the single most preventable cause of premature death is cigarettes. And the tobacco companies say, making us tell the truth about our lies is unprecedented in our legal system and would violate basic constitutional and statutory standards. We have standards, you know. We have standards. We believe in the law. And as long as we're selling a product that is still legal, we will goddamn kill as many people as we please. So please, Judge, keep your liberal fingers out of our money pot. Okay? No offense, Your Honor.
God, I hate him. I just hate him. I just hate them.
Old Rotten Bill from Jersey writes, in reference to your information about the whales, dolphins, and their calves beaching themselves in the Gulf, I was in the Navy in the mid-60s. Back then we had sonar that put 250 kilowatts into the water. We had to put out advisories to divers and swimmers in the water to get out because it would kill them. So, moving forward into the mid-70s, the sonars were quite likely powered by twice as many kilowatts. Back then, the Gulf beings were killed by major disregard for their hearing and other sensing systems. Now, moving forward to 2005 through 2011, with much more powerful sonars and the addition of the Gulf now being totally rendered uninhabitable to undersea wildlife by the wondrous BP company, it is a fairly good bet that that is why our underseas brothers and sisters and their young are dying to get out of the water, and by their very deaths sending a horribly sad plea, a gruesome last gasp message to us, we who should be their caretakers, help us, please. Old Rotten Bill from Jersey. Help us, please. We have some real sick bastards that represent the state of Georgia, and that's because 85% of the voters in this country are real sick bastards, ignorant savages down here, I'm telling you. At Representative Paul Brown's town hall meeting a couple days ago, this member of Congress, and by the way, he represents Athens as part of his district, Athens, University of Georgia. The Athens congressman asked who had driven the furthest to be there, and he would let the winner ask the first question. This is published in the Athens Banner-Herald. We couldn't hear the question in the back of the packed Oglethorpe County Commission chamber, but whatever it was, it got a big laugh. According to an outraged commenter on the article, the question was, Hey, Congressman Paul up there, when's someone going to shoot Obama? I've asked Team Brown, the writer for the Athens Banner-Herald reports, I asked Team Brown whether that was indeed the question. The commenter actually accurately described the question and the circumstances, and no one has disputed his account. Brown's press secretary, Jessica Morris, confirmed that the question was indeed, who's going to shoot Obama? Ms. Morris said, obviously the question was inappropriate, so Congressman Brown moved on. See, he never answered. Here's Brown's response to the questioner. Thing is, I know there's a lot of frustration with this president. We're going to have an election next year. Hopefully we'll elect somebody who's going to be a conservative, limited government president that will take a smaller, who will sign a bill to repeal and replace Obamacare. He then segued into Republicans' budget proposals. Here's a guy, this piece of white trash, who had a chance for a wonderful teaching moment to this redneck in the back who's screaming out something that could have gotten him arrested. Hey! Who's going to shoot Obama? But Representative Paul Brown, B-R-O-U-N, who I believe is a physician, isn't he, Kathy? Just let it go.
Hey, that's a knee slapper, old buddy. I can't answer it up here with these goddamn television. Oops, did I say that? With these TV cameras on. Tell you what. Meet me out back, and I'll tell you when or who.
You wish it's all them unemployed, but not trying to tax as well. Your brother's keeping.
Because without dissent, it's not America. Here's Mike Malloy.
25 before the hour. This hour is sponsored by Jack Milliken, whose message Karen passed. She still loves the American idea. Thank you, Jack. At TVNewsLies.org, this. Iowa bills also could allow for justifiable homicide defense against abortion doctors. Legislators in Iowa have introduced a pair of bills that would recognize a fetus as a separate person. Really? It's a separate person. Well, then why not just pluck it out and set it on a table? And a fetus as a separate person and would permit, quote, deadly force, end quote, in the protection of that fetus. This is reported by the Iowa Independent today. Currently, abortion is settled law in Iowa, but House File 153, sponsored by 28 Republicans, challenges it. Under the bill, the state would be mandated to recognize and protect life, quote, quote, from the moment of conception until natural death, quote, quote, with the full force of the law and state and federal constitutions. Well, that means they get rid of the death penalty? Does Iowa have death penalty? Well, obviously they don't. If the state is mandated to recognize and protect life from the moment of conception until natural death, I mean, that's what it says. I don't know. I guess Iowa doesn't have the death penalty, do they? Essentially, the bill declares that from the moment a male sperm and a female ovum join to create a fertilized egg, a person exists. And House File 7, which has been sponsored by 29 Republican House members, seeks to expand state law regarding use of reasonable force, including deadly force. It goes on, and you can read the whole thing at TVNewsLies.org, but the point is, it's another attempt by another state legislature. This is, you know, the Republicans won, so they get to do this. Republicans took over, what are they? They own 39 or 40 state houses now. So, yeah, the first thing to do is deny gay people the right to form a contract under the heading of marriage and to declare open season on physicians who provide private medical services to a woman that they, the Republican crazy bastards, don't like. Of course, now if somebody entered into the Iowa or the Nebraska or the South Dakota legislature and suggested a law that banned completely the sale of cigarettes within the borders of the state, because anyone who sold cigarettes would be, in fact, endangering the lives of the citizens of those states, such a law would not make it out of the wild brain of the liberal, obviously, who would propose it. Right? See how that works? It's not that they don't love death. Republicans, conservatives, right-wingers, neo-fascists, they love death. They love it. It's just, you know, as long as it's not theirs. Well, what about the Jesus in heaven thing? Oh, no, well, you know, yeah, we're sure, but, you know, we want to rapture up. We don't want to die. We want to rapture up, you know, where we're still alive or, you know. They love death. They want to perpetrate it on anyone and everyone that they possibly can. Kill the doctors. Kill people in other countries, kill each other, kill, kill, kill. It's an anti-life, anti-family, anti-human philosophy, conservatism. Always has been, always will be, is tonight. Iowa, huh? Did you see this? Today, Michael Whitney, writing at FireDogLake.com, wrote, PayPal is blocking money for the Bradley Manning defense, legal defense. PayPal.
There was several attempts to block money for legal defense for Julian Assange. Now it's Bradley Manning. You can go to firedoglake.com. There is a button there you can click to sign a letter to PayPal demanding a purely political decision. Who owns PayPal? I'm sure it's some right-wing son of a bitch that owns PayPal, right? Anyway, this is what Michael wrote. PayPal just froze the account of Bradley Manning's support network, a group raising funds for the legal defense of alleged WikiLeaks source, PFC Bradley Manning. The group can no longer accept donations through PayPal or access the money in its account. Didn't they do this? Who was the guy, Kathy? Remember the young man who was started out working with, what was the woman's name that was exposing election fraud? Bev Harris. You remember the young man that worked for her? Yeah, he's dead now. I'm so embarrassed. I can't think of his name. But the right-wingers did this to him, too. They did something. They challenged one of the payments in PayPal. He desperately needed money to get in for surgery. Remember that whole story? That was how long? That was 5, 6, 7 years ago. Long time ago. I feel very, very bad that I cannot think of his name. Let me take a look. I thought somebody at the Malloy chat on...
Andy.
It was Andy something, that's right. Anybody in the Malloy chat on Ustream remember that young man's name, Andy? Anyway, the attempt to deny Bradley Manning access to funds is now part of PayPal's policy. The Bradley Manning Support Network, as Michael Whitney at FireDogLate.com writes, didn't do anything illegal. PayPal even admits there's no legal reason to shut down the group's account. They say it's, quote, an internal policy decision. Son of a bitch, an internal policy decision. Really, PayPal? Do we use PayPal? We do?
Sometimes.
Sometimes? Why? Because it's convenient? Yeah, it's the only way you can pay. There's no other. Oh, you can talk to me through your microphone.
No, I was just going to say that occasionally, for example, the best example I can come up with is eBay. Pretty much every transaction on eBay relies on a PayPal account. I think eBay kind of built PayPal.
Andy Stevenson. That was his name. Mescal. Or musical at the chat room. Andy Stevenson from Democratic Underground. Yeah. Thank you, Mescal. So now they want to do it to the Bradley Manning Support Network. According to Mike Whitney at FireDogLake.com, PayPal's decision to purposely block funds to help Bradley Manning is no accident. 2 months ago, PayPal also arbitrarily blocked donations to WikiLeaks. Yeah, remember? Just days after PayPal blocked service to WikiLeaks, PayPal executives apparently began a campaign to find excuses to block funds for the Bradley Manning Support Network. The group says its leaders, quote, fielded lengthy calls from executives at PayPal regarding website content, the intended use of the funds being solicited in support of Bradley Manning, and accountings of the recent purchases, primarily envelopes, paper, and postage stamps, made with PayPal funds, end quote. Even this wasn't enough for PayPal, according to Michael Whitney, which decided that the only way to allow the Bradley Manning Support Network to use PayPal would be to give the company direct access to its checking account. Allow PayPal, which is an extraordinary and unreasonable demand. Oh my God. It just never stops, does it? Don't forget,
this Saturday, I believe, actions across the country in support of the middle class to protest the war on the middle class. It's called the Main Street Movement. Check it out online. Main Street Movement to defend and rebuild the American middle class. This is very anti-billionaire and pro-middle class. At Think Progress, there is a video put together, a compilation highlighting action by ordinary Americans all over the country. You can check it there. ThinkProgress.org. Check it out. Before the hour, all right, Reg sent me a statement from PayPal. It was released today. PayPal says, while it is generally not our policy to comment publicly on account dealings, we are sharing the following statement to clarify information regarding the Courage to Resist organization's PayPal account and their claim that this is somehow associated with their support of U.S. Army POC Bradley Manning. Let me be clear, this decision had nothing to do with WikiLeaks. We recently placed a temporary limitation of the Courage to Resist organization's PayPal account as they had not complied with our stated policy requiring nonprofits to associate a bank account with their PayPal account. For the vast majority of nonprofits, this is not an issue. In a press release issued today, the Courage to Resist organization claimed that their resistance to follow our policy is because PayPal sought to withdraw funds from their checking account. To be clear, PayPal cannot take such action without the authorization of an account holder, nor does it ever take such unauthorized actions. Upon review, and as part of our normal business procedures, we have decided to lift the temporary restriction placed on their account because we have sufficient information to meet our statutory, quote, know your customer obligations, end quote. The Courage to Resist PayPal account is now fully operational. Signed, Anuj Nayar, Director of Communications. Well, there you go. Thank you, Reg. It would have been terrible to leave that hanging overnight, right? I mean, my saying, oh, that was great, they took it. This hour has been sponsored by Jack Milliken, whose message Karen passed, but she still loves the American idea. Sort of cryptic message, Jack, but I think I get it. And thank you very much for sponsoring the hour. Coming up next hour, I mentioned a little bit earlier tonight about women's infant and children's what is it called? Women, Infants, and Children feeding program, and what the Republicans want to do with this, the WIC program. I want you to stick around for this. Also, we have the Corporatist Manifesto. What else we got? An interesting email from Eric, who is a market socialist. Which I would tend to agree that's what I am. And the fact that Halliburton and several American military contractors and energy companies have been and continue to do business with Libya, with the government of Muammar Gaddafi, even though Muammar Gaddafi is, he is what he is, right? But, you know, that's kind of the theme we've been talking about. Halliburton does business with Libya and other American-owned corporations. Michael Dell does business with Iran, providing them with computers so that they can diligently work to, according to spokesmen from their government, continue to build their peaceful nuclear program. But according to Americans and Israelis, are continuing to build the necessary infrastructure to produce nuclear bombs. Michael Dell doesn't give a damn about that. He just wants the money. George W. Bush family, the Bush family, deals with the Nazis. The Koch family deals with Stalinist Russia. And Halliburton, of course, deals with Iran and Libya. Why wouldn't they? It's just an incredible situation. You talk about one pill makes you smaller and the other pill makes you bigger and through the looking glass and Alice and so on and so forth. How many decades has it been that these corporatist swine, these capitalist swine, have been pumping us full of anti-commie, a narrative, anti-Muslim narrative, anti-dictator narrative, oh, pro-freedom, oh yeah, we're all for freedom and democracy. And yet the sons of bitches do business with and support any dictatorship they can get their arms around. And if it's a dictatorship sitting on top of a pool of petroleum, oh my God, then it becomes almost like oral sex, doesn't it? It's just incredible. And yet here we sit. Of course, we're dumber than hell because we sit here and continue to drive gasoline-driven cars. We continue to insist on the latest electronic toys without realizing what goes into the production and maintenance of those toys. Pretty soon there's going to be a cell phone that will do everything that you could possibly include, cook your dinner, wipe your butt, make you clean behind your ears. It'll all be on your little cell phone. Everything will be there. Of course, these little cell phones use more energy than the first rocket launch that carried Alan Shepard. But, oh my God. We're out of time. Stick around. We're going to raise some hell next hour. I've noticed lately in the third hour, I just get carried away. Well, it's after the cutoff time for vile language, according to the FCC, and the kids are all in bed. So stick around. We're going to be talking about, I know it sounds like, well, you're going to talk about women, infants, and children. What the hell's that? Stick around. I'm Mike Malloy. is sponsored by the author at sitezero.org. S-I-T-E, zero. Spell it out, S-I-T-E-Z-E-R-O, sitezero.org. The author of that site is our sponsor, and his message, or her message, I guess it's his. Is it his? Okay, his. Attention, Republicans and teabaggers, I invite you all to visit sitezero.org, where all your wishes have come true. Attention, progressives, please purchase a Malloy podcast and invite a conservative friend to listen with you. Author, sitezero.org. Thank you, author. I like that one. Well, I like them all. I mean, you're kidding me, but that's kind of cool. Like, what is sitezero.org? He sponsored an hour a week or so ago, didn't he? I think he did. Or she, he. Sitezero.org. Who sent this to me? Ronald. All right, Ronald. The Corporatist Manifesto. It's very quick. Corporatist Manifesto. Actually, it's a declaration of intent, I think. Well, I guess that's what a manifesto is, huh? Ronald starts out by saying corporate and personal billionaires have record cash reserves to mount a long siege. American families, small businesses, and government reserves are at low levels. So, the manifesto says that corporatists use financial influence to take over the executive, legislative, and judicial branches of government at the federal, state, and local levels. They amend laws, regulations, and constitutions to block future generations from breaking up or taxing billionaires. They consolidate media ownership to overwhelm or eliminate opposing voices. They drain resources from American families and small businesses. They gather intelligence for dirty tricks databases on people, families, and small businesses to pressure or bribe opponents. And finally, they drain government resources into corporate coffers, except law enforcement, intelligence, and the military. Well, I think they ought to be taken out and hanged. Huh? Wouldn't that make sense? If your very life is at stake, if your way of life is at stake, what do? You just sit back and say, well, as soon as I'm finished watching, hey, did you hear who's going to be on Dancing with the Stars tonight? Oh, boy. Hang 'em high. Eric writes, Mike, I myself am a market socialist. A market socialist is basically a person who believes that markets are the best way to measure preferences and create information. Market capitalism, on the other hand, creates preferences and manipulates information. Market socialism is democratic. Market capitalism is plutocratic. Market socialism thrives in a rational, educated, generous, and just society. Market capitalism thrives in an anti-rational, uneducated, greedy, and unjust society. The Tea Party stooges who are supporting the plutocrats can fairly be characterized as anti-rational, generally uneducated, and most certainly greedy. Above all, they don't realize that they will never, ever be permitted to participate in the political decision-making of the plutocrats. Taking a cue from Frank Luntz, the plutocrats have issued a directive to Republican Party elites, senators, representatives, airwave propagandists, the whole crew. This directive commands that all effort needs to be made to create a negative affective response to hearing the word Democrat. A very cute example of the effort to implement this directive calls to mind the recent effort by the Texas textbook censors. Recall that they want to disabuse the children's, that's the way they wrote it, of the bad habit of calling this country a democracy and teach them the truth. It is a republic. God damn it. And of course, there is the constant drone of hearing, the Republican stooges refer to the Democratic Party as the Democrat Party. It occurred to me, Eric writes, that by replacing a single vowel in the word Republican, one could capture the essence of the Republican Party, R-E-P-O. They want to repo your home. They want to repo your auto. They want to repo your collective bargaining rights. They want to repo your women's, infants, and children's benefits. They want to repo your womb. In short, they want it all. Bastards. Keep it lit, Eric. And his last name. That little bit about women's, infants, and children's program. I read this thing from Ann Conley Wright. She's an assistant professor of child and adolescent development at San Francisco State University. She teaches courses there and conducts research on child and family policy. In addition, she does research on the social ecology of childhood and child advocacy. And in this essay, she says if human capital is the wealth of nations, then the House Republicans proposed federal budget, you know, for the whole country, will leave us poorer, much poorer. And Ann Conley Wright points out that economists know that what separates wealthy and poor countries is not simply, you know, how much oil they have or how many minerals or, you know, their natural resources, but their human capacities, like initiative and ingenuity. And you, it's stipulating that context. If we're smart enough to say, well, that makes sense, the last thing we should do is accept the Republican Party's proposed federal budget cuts leveled at the poor. Particularly Ann, or I'm sorry, it's Amy Wright. I'm saying Ann Conley Wright. I'm very sorry. Amy Wright. Amy Conley Wright. In that context, she writes, the last thing we should do is accept the Republican Party's proposed federal budget cuts leveled at the poor, particularly those aimed at children, such as cutting about 10% or $758 million from the WIC program, the Women, Infants, and Children program. Now, if you don't know, and I'm sure you probably do, WIC is a federal program, a nutrition program that was established in the mid-70s, and its sole function is improving the health of young children and pregnant or postpartum women through education, nutrition, and referrals, you know, where people can get help if they need it. To qualify, participants must be at or below 185% of the federal poverty line, which is $34,280 for a family of three, and must be assessed by a health professional to be at what is referred to as nutrition risk for medical or dietary reasons. Children and mothers receive an average, are you ready, $41 a month in food assistance that meets common nutritional deficits in the WIC participants, and including what they get are protein-rich foods like peanut butter and eggs, $41 a month. Let me say it again, $41 a month. The Republicans want to destroy this. $41 a month. Do you know what that is to the billionaire cockroaches that now run this country? $41? That's a rounding error. It means nothing. It's not even that. It's nothing. But for the women and the babies and the kids that are on this program, it is life. It's life. Now, we're going to come back in a minute after this break, and I'm going to show you how these goddamn Republicans, every single one of them, should be driven to the edge of the country and told, start swimming. We'll be right back.
Have you seen the little piggies crawling in the dirt? And for all the little piggies, life is getting worse. Always having dirt to play around in. Have you seen the bigger piggies in the starched white shed? You will find the bigger piggies stirring up the dirt. Always have clean sheds.
the primal scream you suppress. Embrace your inner liberal warrior with Mike Malloy.
21 past the hour. I guess it comes through on this program that I'm so sick of people who claim to be Republicans or conservatives that, I've almost reached that point beyond which there's nothing but chaos and disaster. And part of the reason is because the typical Republican will commit any act, any law-breaking act, up to and including murder, in order to protect a clot of fetal cells embedded inside a female. They will commit murder to prevent that woman from having the option, if she chooses, to remove that clump of cells from her body. On the other hand, these same cockroaches, these Republicans, will do anything to prevent living, actual living, breathing children and babies and women from receiving the nutrition that they desperately need if they're going to survive. It's this kind of hypocrisy, this kind of psychosis, this kind of, I don't know what else to call it, madness in these people that makes me, it's one of the things that makes me so furious that I get to the point where I want to commit various and unspecified acts of violence. You know what I'm saying? Ah! So, an essay I'm quoting from here, an opinion piece, really, by Amy Conley Wright, who is connected with San Francisco State University, where she does research on children and babies and postpartum mothers and families and that sort of thing. The kind of stuff that Republicans spit on. They talk about it. They have captured the rhetoric of being pro-family. They're the most anti-family bunch of thugs ever to be produced in this country. Every single Republican, if it's a man, he hates his wife, he hates his children. If it's a woman, she's disgusted by the slob she's married to and doesn't have a clue as to what's best for her children because her brains have been sucked out and replaced by what? Styrofoam when she decided to allow herself to become a Republican. Now, having said that, cuts that the Republicans want to make to the Women, Infants, Children's program. And they want to cut $758 million. This is taking food, nutrition, life, right out of the hands and mouths of babies, children, and mothers. I mean, it's the same as just reaching into a crib and ripping from a baby's mouth a bottle, which obviously the baby should be nursing. But if the baby is not nursing, worse yet, saying to the mother, no decent nutrition for you, nothing. Go ahead and try to nurse your baby. See if your breast can produce anything. I hate these people. I hate them with a fury that just about, I'm losing it here. Amy Wright says cuts to the WIC program might work with voters in the short term by delivering immediate and visible spending reductions. My God, but they would cost us in the long run, she says. And here's why. As you know, in recent years, there's been a lot of attention focused on nutrition. And as Amy Wright points out, we know that when it comes to nutrition, a child's first 5 years last a lifetime. These are the years of the most intense growth and development, particularly for the brain. And the types of nutritional assistance provided by and promoted by the Women, Infants, and Children program are key to brain development. Key. As she writes, nutrients consumed before birth and during early childhood become part of the architecture of the brain. Now, I realize that you cannot explain this to a Republican. They're so goddamn stupid and ignorant and they have Bibles stuffed up their noses and guns stuffed up their rear ends and they put their hands over their ears and say, no, 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 no. Essential fats used to grow myelin, the insulation between brain cells. This is critical at this age. These essential fats can be found in the breast milk of mothers with adequate diets, as well as whole milk and other items in the WIC food package. And the Republicans want to say to people who desperately need this, no, 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 no! I'll commit murder for a clot of cells!
as long as the bitch woman understands I control her.
But if she has a baby, if she's struggling for nutritional needs, there's not a Republican in America who wouldn't deny this woman and this baby and this toddler everything. You filth. Children's basic physiology and brain structure remain affected by early nutritional deficits, Amy Wright continues, and this can result in cognitive impairment as well as behavioral and emotional problems. There's more. I'm sure you know about Women, Infants, Children program. If you don't know about it, then look it up and read about it. The Republicans want to destroy it. They want to take it away. They want to absolutely deny babies and young children and women, nursing mothers, postpartum mothers, nutrition that they desperately need in order to live. This is what Republicans are about. This is what these sons of bitches are about. This is why I hate them with such a passion. So, the Republicans, being the putrid, hate-filled, anti-American, anti-life creatures that they are, I don't know where these folks came from. I really don't. I don't know how. I realize that they are probably, even the, you know, my previous comments to the contrary, they are probably human, like we are, conservatives. Their brain function is different from ours, from normal people. But there is a nastiness that resides inside every conservative, every Republican, just a nastiness, a kind of a greedy point of view that eventually is going to devour them. It's not going to hurt the rest of us. It may hurt us, but eventually that kind of attitude will eliminate them from the human gene pool. It just will. And one manifestation of that is the effort now by Republicans to decimate the Women, Infants, Children, the WIC nutritional program that goes to people below a certain income. I hesitate to use the word poor, because what's poor? I mean, somebody that doesn't have, you know, 40-inch flat screen TVs in their home. Well, you know, what is poor in the age of corporate blood-sucking that we have been through now for the past 30 years. Well, what constitutes poor? What is poor? Huh? Is it people who have had their jobs taken from them? It is people who have been no longer have tuition money to go to school. It's people who are deeply in debt, have lost their homes. You know, what is poor, right? So I hesitate to use the word poor when referring to the WIC program. It's for people who desperately need nutrition. Postpartum mothers, infants, and little kids. And the Republicans want to take it away. You filthy bastards. Amy Conley Wright, who is an expert in this field, and she is a professor, assistant professor of child and adolescent development at San Francisco State University. She has written a very coherent and brief essay about all this. She doesn't use the kind of profane language that I use. She doesn't cuss. Any cussing you hear as I'm reading Amy Wright's article is strictly, or her essay is strictly, editorial addition on my part. She goes on
Investments in federal food assistance programs such as WIC are more important in our current economy than ever before. Soaring enrollment in the federal food stamp program, which now serves 1 in 7 Americans, attests to the vital role that food assistance plays in the American safety net. And states are slashing their social programs to close budget gaps, leaving federal food assistance programs as one of the few resources that Americans can count on to keep them going in a time of need. Now, the big-ass executives we've talked about the past couple of days, and this punk, this slimy punk in Wisconsin, this toy governor, and his counterparts in other states where Democrats stayed home and didn't vote, and Republicans put these monsters into office. These people care not a bit about what happens to Americans in a time of need. You got to understand something. Even you brain-dead teabaggers, you are debris to corporate America, to the capitalists. You are meaningless. You exist only insofar as you buy the junk that the capitalists produce for you to buy, or consume the power that they rip out of the guts of the earth. They don't give a goddamn about you, never have. And this attitude that so many right-wingers have, well, you know, I'm going to support the Republicans and the rich people. I love the rich people. I'd like to lick the bottoms of their shoes. I love them so much because, you know what? I live in America and maybe someday I could be rich. Let me tell you something, Sparky. That day is never going to come. Ever. But the corporatists and the capitalists and the Republicans will continue to use you and abuse you and laugh at you behind your back, just like Glenn Beck does. Wow. If anything, Amy Wright points out, the federal government should be investing more money, not less, in programs like women, infants, children, nutritional programs. More money. You don't have to be a Democrat or a progressive or a rational human being to come to that conclusion. You can be a dumbass Republican. Let me tell you something, Republicans and conservatives. Let me tell you something. Children, as Amy points out, are not passive little recipients of charity. They are actors in a social contract that says, invest in children now, and they in turn will grow into productive citizens. But if you want to avoid that advice, that truth, well, as Amy points out, if we renege on our part of the contract, we deprive these children of what they need to develop their full human potential. For the cost of a dozen eggs and a gallon of milk, we're investing in their future and our future. Now, what happens if we don't? Huh? It means the prison industrial complex will thrive 15 years from now, 17 years from now, when the kids that were developmentally stunted because they didn't have proper nutrition. As one of the factors that comes into play in developmental progress, there are other factors, of course there are, but nutrition is key. The Republicans say, now, you know, a starving child is an attentive child. That's when we beat the goddamn hell out of them with a Bible. That's when we teach them why your parents were sinful. Now pay attention. Here, eat this. This is called the Psalms. Eat this. And for dinner, you're going to have Revelation. And for dessert, something. So what happens to these kids when they grow up? Well, to put it in very stark, horrific terms, because only those kinds of terms are terms that a Republican can understand. Remember, Republicans and conservatives exist in a miasma of fear and loathing. That's their whole life. They hate their lives. They hate their children. They hate their spouses. They hate their country. They hate you.
They hate everything. That's why they're so twisted and sick. That's why they say, pull yourself up by your bootstraps, goddammit. Well, we're talking about an eight-month-old baby.
Well, if it was a clump of cells, I'd protect it. But it's a baby, right?
Right.
No food, right?
Right. To Republicans, that means the parents are useless. So let the baby die. But let me put it in stark terms for these Republicans so they can understand it. 15 years from now, when you are in your, sixties, Mr. or Ms. Republican, right? You're in your 60s, and you're walking down the street and it's getting dark and you're by yourself and all of a sudden you're going to be confronted with somebody with a gun who's going to demand your purse or your wallet. And you're going to stand there and you're going to realize, oh my God, I'm being mugged. I'm being robbed. Oh, I hope they don't kill me. Don't kill me. Please don't kill me. And you know what might be confronting you, you half-wit? Some child who 15 years ago, you worked your ass off to elect people who would deny that child nutritional necessities. And the child grew up deranged. For the want of the price of a loaf of bread or a pound of butter or a chunk of fat back, what you are now standing in front of is that child who is now unable to tell the difference between right and wrong, good and bad, proper and improper behavior, for a number of reasons, not the least of which was nutritional denial. So you have about 30 seconds left, Mr. or Ms. Lardass Republican. You have 30 seconds left, and then your life is over. Hand over your wallet, make your peace with Jesus, and be prepared to go to your reward. Because this kid standing in front of you, this 18-year-old, 17-year-old standing in front of you, is going to put a bullet right through your brain. Would have been so easy, wouldn't it, to have just elected people who would make sure that little kids got nutritional supplements when needed, and proper education, and support for a woman, support for a man who lost his job, a woman who lost hers. Wouldn't it have been a lot easy? Hurry up, you've got 15 seconds. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, the hour, and this hour has been brought to you by, and thank you very much, author at sitezero.org, S-I-T-E-Z-E-R-O, sitezero.org, very interesting website. The author is the sponsor of this third hour of the program tonight, and the message that comes with the sponsorship, attention Republicans and teabaggers, I invite you all to visit sitezero.org, where all your wishes have come true. And attention progressives, please purchase a Malloy podcast and invite a conservative friend to listen with you. Thank you, author, sitezero.org. If you've not been there, you may find a very interesting site. Zero.
www.thebestexamination.org. Thank you, author. You know, we talked about Dell and Koch and the Koch brothers, the Koch family, and before that many times about the Bush family, how all of these people, these billionaires, support and help develop the countries that we find ourselves in at war with, either proxy wars or direct wars. The Bush family and the Nazis, the Koch family and the Soviets, Dell and the Iranians. And it I don't know why that doesn't give pause to the teabaggers and the right wingers and the Republicans, where all of your heroes, all of the people that fund you are communists. They're traitors to the United States. They remain traitors, not just to the spirit of the United States, but to the factual basis of the United States, to the United States. And maybe that's a good thing. Maybe the United States needed to have traitors, needed to bring this society to its knees, which is what these corporatist thugs have done. They have looted and ripped out of this country everything that they possibly can, and yet they still get support from half the American public. It's astonishing. It's just astonishing. 300, 400, 500, 600 years from now, if there are still human beings, if there's still any desire to know what happened back here, which will be seen as the real dark ages, I think volumes will be written about how Republicans and conservatives and people who were terrified of life or hated life or both, how they almost destroyed the human race. And I think those tomes and essays and think pieces will be written about what passed as conservatism back here or libertarianism, and how those type of people writing in the future, the writers will say those type of people almost ended the human race. And thank God that the human race was able to pull itself out at the last minute. I would imagine, on the other hand, the darker scenario is there'll be nobody around to do that. But there's this, the website of the U.S. Libya Business Association. What? There is one? Of course. American capitalists deal with anybody. They prefer dictators and terrorists. That's who they prefer. Dell would rather deal with a terrorist. Halliburton, Cheney would rather deal with dictators and authoritarians. The Bush family would much rather deal with Nazis. I mean, this is just the nature of these rat bastards. But the website of the U.S. Libya Business Association was down on Monday as these protests against Muammar Gaddafi are intensifying. Gaddafi's 41-year regime, that is turning into, well, it's going to get worse. Libya is going to be ankle-deep in blood. Gaddafi is obviously mad. He is totally insane. He's kind of like Kissinger, but without the restraints of a democratic society. Kissinger is mad and a murderer and a butcher, too, but Gaddafi is out of his mind. The U.S. Libya Business Association was incorporated in 2005. Keep the date in mind. It describes itself as, quote, the only U.S. trade association focusing on the United States and Libya. A web cache of the group reveals that over a dozen oil and energy companies and military contractors make up the executive advisory committee of the U.S. Libya Business Association. Are you surprised? Among them, including military contractors like Raytheon, you have Dow Chemical, Chevron, Shell, Occidental Petroleum, and, oh my goodness, Halliburton. Have you ever noticed that every single American who has been murdered outside the United States, you can usually trace that murder back to Dick Cheney and Halliburton? Every single one for the past 60 years. Are you aware of that? You're not? Do some research. The Bush administration lifted Libya from the U.S. list of state sponsors of terrorism in May of 2006. Because, you see, Libya has a rich supply of known oil reserves, and much of the country remains untapped. As a matter of fact, something called the U.S. Energy Information Administration, you like that, reports that Libya, quote, has the largest proven oil reserves in Africa, end quote. So the corporatists and the capitalists and the oil thugs and the militarists are probably a little bit concerned. They're hoping that the next person that comes into power in Libya after Muammar Gaddafi is hanged from a lamppost, they hope that the next one will be as easy to do business with as Gaddafi. The corporatists and the capitalists in the United States who have dealt with this son of a bitch didn't care about the 243 Marines killed in Lebanon. They didn't care about the Lockerbie airline crash. They don't care about any of it. All they care about is the money. I'll see you tomorrow night. Take care. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy.